Your station 2 and URFM 103.7. Amanda McCreed for your Tuesday morning, and I'm joined on the line by nutritionist Professor Claire Collins, and today we're talking about acid foods. Good morning, Claire.
Good morning, Amanda.
In your No Money, No Time podcast, you talk about whether acid foods are really a thing. Could you start by explaining what acidity and alkalinity mean in the context of foods and our bodies?
Yeah, really happy to. But I thought I'd tell you the reason why this topic even came up. This one is a question from a listener. So we always try and prioritise doing the podcast when people have asked us, you know, their own burning question. And I think this one comes about because you hear that people often talking about that, oh, no, I can't eat that food, it gives me acid. But if you think about your body and digestion, when you eat your food, it travels down the swallowing pipe, which is called the esophagus, and goes into your stomach. And your stomach is a bag full of acid. And if you can remember back to chemistry at school, it may have been that in your science class, you did that old acid test where you took drops of liquid and you dropped them onto the blue litmus paper.
Oh, yes.
Well, if it went red, then it turned it acid, you know, and things like, you know, lemon juice would turn it acid. So the way acid gets measured, though, it's kind of interesting because it's on the pH scale, which goes from acid, which is like the most acid you can be is zero, up to the opposite end, the most alkali, and that's 14. And neutral is actually in the middle, and it's 7, and water is neutral. And the funny thing is, that is not intuitive. Like, your brain would think, oh, surely 0 would be neutral, but it's not. So from 7 reversing down to 0, you become more and more acid. Now, our body, our blood, is actually very, very, very slightly alkali. So our blood is like pH 7.3 to 7.45. And if our body pH got out of whack, actually you'd die. Because a lot of things like enzymes and minerals and proteins in your blood, if it became too acid or too alkali, they couldn't work. And then, yeah, you would actually die.
Wow.
And there's a condition when that can happen a little bit for people who have type 1 diabetes if their blood glucose goes too high, and it's called ketoacidosis, and that is considered a medical emergency, and people have to be brought back to the correct blood composition very, very carefully in medicine. But let's talk about then, so why is it? Because, like, honestly, I can remember my nana, she used to say, can't eat tomatoes, they give me acid. So what's way, way more common than your blood or your body getting out of whack in terms of acidity is a thing called reflux. So, and that's when you can actually taste acid in your mouth. And that's when the stomach acid comes up from your stomach into your esophagus. And yeah, you can almost taste it. And the people most commonly to get that feeling are people who have reflux. So the common times as you get older, because the round muscle that blocks the stomach from the esophagus, that's called the esophageal sphincter muscle, it becomes more loose as you get old. And can you have a guess, Amanda, when might the other time that esophageal sphincter be under pressure?
If you're choking?
Yes, definitely if you're choking. But I was thinking about pregnancy.
Ah.
Because, yeah, so during pregnancy, your body's really good at trying to get all your ligaments and everything sort of so relaxed. And also with the pressure of the baby actually on your stomach, the esophageal sphincter can mean you're more likely to get reflux. So the idea that some foods give me more acid can be related to reflux. So if you've got reflux to the point where you're going, wow, I can't eat anything, or I can feel the acid coming up in my esophagus, big message, go and talk to your doctor. And the reason for that is, you know, I told you 7 is neutral. Well, the acid in your stomach is like about 3.5 or 4. It's hydrochloric acid. And the esophagus, it's not designed to be exposed to hydrochloric acid. And so it can actually get inflamed and eroded. And so you might need to go and talk to your doctor about that, or they may even need to do investigations for that. So now, what gives you that reflux? Well, things like a big meal will do that. You know, after Christmas dinner, you can guarantee lots of people who don't normally get gastroesophageal reflux will actually get heartburn. That's the normal common name, heartburn. So if that's a problem for you, go and talk to your doctor, because sometimes people are given medication to actually reduce the amount of stomach acid, or sometimes you need to have an investigation test, because if it's left untreated, a couple of things happen. The acid fumes, when your esophageal sphincter is really loose, can trigger things like asthma, or it can erode your esophagus over time and cause strictures, making it harder to swallow. So you're more likely to get those choking feelings or to feel like food is stuck. And then it can increase the risk for this thing called a Barrett's esophagus, and that increases the risk for esophageal cancer. So what can treat esophageal reflux or that acidy feeling? Well, eating anything. If you put anything into your stomach full of acid, it actually dilutes the stomach acid.
Right.
There's a lot to take in, isn't there?
Yeah.
Lucky we've also made this a podcast, a podcast topic, because in the podcast we actually go on to tell you about the other regulator of the body's acid-based balance is actually the kidneys. And, you know, lots of vegetables and fruit actually help protect the kidneys from exposure to too much acid or too much ammonia. And I'm going to tell you, come over to No Money, No Time, click on the podcast page and go and listen to our whole episode on acid foods.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Professor Claire Collins. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Yes, talk to you then. Bye.
Bye. This is 2NURFM 103.7.